Hello. For you that don't know me, I am Gretchen Voigt, assistant lay leader here at Church of the Pines. It has been almost exactly 1 year from when we first closed our church because of the pandemic. And quite a year it has been. And I am sure that many people have experienced this time in a number of different ways. Many people have had loved ones die from COVID-19 and from other causes and have not been able to be with them before they passed. People have lost their jobs, have not been able to pay their housing costs, have had food insecurity, and still do, judging by the lines of cars we see on the news of people just waiting for a box of food to feed their families for the next few days. About a month ago, Emerson Coy and I asked if anyone would like to share their story about how they dealt with this time with God's help. I will share with you my story of the past year. Ted and I are both retired, and last year at about this time, we were camping in Florida in a national seashore called Fort Pickens, which is located on the panhandle of Florida. This was at the time that the pandemic was just gearing up, and we, for one, did not realize how bad it was going to be. I remember talking with Ted about whether to leave Florida a little early or not. Where we were camping, people were naturally socially distanced, with at least 300 or more feet between people on the beach. In Wisconsin, they say that 6 feet apart is the size of a cow between you and another person. That would mean that we had at least 50 cows end to end between us on the beach, so we felt pretty safe. As Florida was getting hit pretty hard with the virus and people were getting sick, our campground closed down a day before we were to leave. So the decision was taken from us and we left a day early. And because they sent us home early, we got a full refund for the full 2 weeks we had booked, an unexpected bonus. Once at home, we cleaned everything we could. We came close to running out of toilet paper. You might remember that people were stockpiling toilet paper, and it was difficult to find any in a store. We actually lucked out when we happened to stop at a Costco and got enough to see us through for a while. The summer was not too bad because we live in the Northwoods and can get outside and socially distance. I started making masks with my neighbor, Hetty Blank, as I know many others of our congregation did as well. And we were hoping the church might be able to reopen with the use of masks. And because there was a shortage of N95 masks for essential workers, we didn't want to buy a lot of masks. Our church started live streaming Sunday church and also a prayer service on Wednesday mornings, thanks to the expertise of Pastor Mark, Noah Lottick, and Bob Nash. For those without a computer, the services can be accessed by a DVD or a phone call. It's amazing what technology can do. Mary Jorgensen got a calling crew organized as well as a meal program. Operation Compassion, which is a ministry of sending cards and handmade drawings, was started by Molly and Jamie Jorgensen, two of our younger church members. And Patty Frandy continued to write her monthly newsletter to people stuck at home. Our prayer ministry was able to continue and to connect people. Of course, there are the Zoom meetings for church business and Bible studies. And I know many other people in our church looked out for each other as best they could with phone calls, rides, and meals as well. As for me and Ted, we actually do pretty well in isolation because we have each other. And we like to take lots of walks and get outside. What we really missed was seeing our church family and our kids and grandkids. We could not see our church family because church was closed to keep us safe. And we could not see our kids and grandkids because our two sons and daughter-in-law are teachers and had in-person school, and 4 of the 6 grandchildren went to in-person school. Our daughter, who is an occupational therapist working in a hospital, sometimes with COVID patients, we definitely could not see, all for fear that we would contract the disease and get sick and worst of all die. Ted and I are both in that high risk category called old. Of course, we FaceTime and talked on the phone, but that does not take the place of hugs and being with each other. In addition to that came all the political, social, and racial unrest in the country. Ted and I watched more news shows than we have ever done in our lives. It was heart-wrenching to watch all the hatred and selfishness going on in our country, and I was truly distressed and anxious. I could not understand why wearing a mask or not wearing one became a political issue. To me, it felt as if everyone was going crazy and did not really care for one another. Mask wearing was only one of many issues. I did not like feeling out of control, and this was not something I could control. So my only option in my mind was to leave it up to God. God said, "Fear not, I am with you." So I hung my hat on that and left it up to God. It really helped. It also helped that I could try to help others in their time of need who had it so much worse than I did. In addition, I found so much more time to spend with God doing devotions and prayer. I am so grateful for that time. I found this in the New York Times. It was under the section of "What are you doing during COVID?" I just loved the response from Jonelle Sarah of Sonoma, California, and this is what she said. "I put on my therapist cape and fight the enemy that is attacking my community, mental despair. I listen, counsel, advise, cajole, tell bad jokes, tell better jokes, Zoom, meet in outdoor spots, bring up mindfulness, recommend books, suggest Netflix comedies, refer to Jung, encourage journaling, reflect on current events, drop hints of hope, explain neural pathways, pull tarot cards if desperate, lavish praise, nurture dreams, offer perspective, share grief, call other therapists for support, sigh, and pray for everyone. I'm giving it all I got." Jonelle is doing what she can for others with the gifts that God has given her. I believe that if we just care for others with what we have, the whole world is a better place. God's advice is always good. Love God, love others, love yourselves. It works. Currently, I'm glad to report that Ted and I have both had our COVID vaccines, and we are feeling that maybe our country and the world can get a handle on this virus. The other story I would like to share with you is from Janet Bites, Anna Gilbert's mom and Pastor Mark's mother-in-law. Janet titled her story, "God With Me," and I love that. So this is Janet. "My journey has lasted almost 2 years. In 2019, I started to have serious balance issues until, that April, I fell and broke my shoulder. The x-rays of my shoulder showed that I had a spot on my right lung that seemed to be cancer. So, once my shoulder began to heal, I went to see a lung surgeon. The spot was not in a place where it could be biopsied, so she sent me for a special scan that could tell if it was malignant. Not only was it cancer, but the scan showed a more serious spot in my breast. At that point, I told Pastor Mark, my son-in-law, that I felt like God had thrown me on the ground so the cancers would be discovered. I have a book of devotions that I like and have read every morning for the past several years. As it happened, the Bible verses, which include, 'I am with you,' came up a couple of times right then. I decided I could really use this. So each time I went for a consultation, a painful test, or I was just feeling afraid, I would repeat this to myself over and over. I had breast surgery, then a few months later, lung surgery. So the phrase really got a workout. But it worked. I healed easily from both and was thrilled to find out I didn't need chemo for either cancer and am considered cancer-free. Of course, I am followed regularly by an oncologist, and I get nervous before every visit, but I still know that God is with me.
Thank you, Gretchen, and for sharing, and sharing Janet's story as well, and for Carolyn's prayer earlier. We thank you for your words, your thoughts, your experiences. The faith of all of us individually and collectively is really so important to the church, to the community, and to the world. On Laity Sunday, we celebrate the different and unique gifts of everybody in the congregation. And without you, pastors wouldn't have anybody to preach to. We are all in this boat together. Maybe the boat rocks and maybe it doesn't, but we're in it together on this earth, whether we like it or not. The pandemic has reminded us that even in our, that it's here, even in our isolation, we have been dependent on each other to do each other's part in our separation, but not being able to worship in person even. But we still are doing our part by not doing so at the present time. And we have hope sometime in the near future we will. There's a hope of the vaccine that's coming out and is being rolled out in record time. Well, I asked my young granddaughters the questions about how they experienced this past year with COVID and what their feelings were. So Maya Coy and Brittany Slett about their thoughts. And both of them sort of had the same sentiment as to why did this have to happen. Maya, who's now 10 years old, said, "I don't know why it happened, but everyone has been good following the guidelines. But there are some mishaps in life. Sometimes bad things happen in life. Life can't be perfect." But something is, oh, maybe I better do this. And so it seemed like it was hard separating home from work at that time. So when the weather broke, I kind of got busy. As soon as I had breaks or when work time was over, I began washing windows, mowing lawn, raking pine needles. I got more pine needles raked than ever before. And Julie and I were cutting and splitting wood, and we had enough wood for 2 years by the end of May. And so at that time, my wife says, "I think we did enough." And I said, "Okay." So I actually grew a COVID beard, which wasn't very pretty, and my hair grew out. And finally, I went in and just got tired of it and got a haircut. It was hard not to experience, or not having to see our grandchildren in person as well, or have overnights at the house like they sometimes do. We'd have to go to a parking lot someplace and meet and do a social distance visit. Or we'd stop at their house maybe and be outside for a little bit. But we had sometimes, though, that like on Easter Sunday was a big disappointment because we got a group Zoom together on my cell phone that was actually orchestrated by the youngest ones in the family. And we did a virtual Easter egg hunt with my cell phone. But what I have been inspired by is our congregation. It has responded in faith to the situations that we find ourselves. It's like the Gospel of John when it says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness will not overcome it. So when countless calls are made to check on members and friends of the church, when earnest prayers are given privately for those in need, when cards of sympathy, birthday, and anniversary cards are sent with written notes on them, they are all acts of faith and witness. And I know how it is impact because I've received some of those. Others have come to plant flowers around the church. Some have taken care of the church building. We give monetarily to the church for its mission and vision to be completed, and budgets created and funds spent transparently and properly. Even our children have reached out artistically to shut-ins and giving messages of hope to those in isolation. And I've been inspired by the live stream services and everything that goes into making them. I thank God for our laity. I thank God for everyone and their unique talents that we have together, collectively, and individually. And the way that the many ways we have of communicating with each other. As the lay leaders, we get the privilege of meeting with Pastor Mark monthly. We're blessed that he thinks and plans months in advance on themes and activities that nurture our spiritual growth and at the same time challenges us to serve each other, the community, and the world. So when we reflect on verses in Psalm 33 that was read this morning, we're reminded of the greatness and the goodness of God, that no matter what experiences that we have to go through, God is in charge, and His love endures forever. God is worthy of a great praise. And in the New Testament, when we read about the stormy sea, Jesus was trusting his experienced boatmen. You know, they were fishermen. They were professionally, they spent lots of time in boats. And while he took his deserved nap, but out of the storm, they awakened him. And with the soft words, he calmed the waves to their amazement. To be a follower of Jesus is to ride the waves of the Spirit in all kinds of weather, knowing that Jesus is there with you in the boat, that Jesus is near, whether walking on the water towards you or sleeping there beside you. One of the earliest metaphors of the church is the anchor. But the anchor is described, like back in Hebrews 6, it's not used to pull a boat back or keep it from moving. We do that when we fish. We put an anchor down because we think the fish is in that spot. But the anchor is used when the wind is high and the storm is raging to pull the boat forward. It's called kelging or kedging. They throw the anchor ahead and they keep on pulling on the rope. When they do that, to pull the boat up, to keep it from crashing into shore. Jesus is like an anchor for us, always steady, always sure, even when we're not. He pulls us forward during the storms of life, always leading into peace even around us. Are the winds, the storms, the pandemics, whatever, bad times. But Jesus is always there. He's always ready there to hold your hand and take it because he loves us so very, very much. God loves us very, very much. That's why he sent Jesus Christ. And in a week, we're going to learn all over again and about Jesus' trials, his confrontations, his death, and then his resurrection that gives us life forever, evermore. We have something to cherish together as a group. We have something to cherish and to live for. We have a faith to live by because we have Jesus Christ with us. We have a church, not just to have a church. We have Jesus Christ in this church and in every church. And he's within us, around us, between us. He's with us all the time. And when we call upon him, he'll be with us. And he's going to see us through whatever we experience in the future. We're thankful for hope. We're thankful for faith. And we're thankful for the love. In Jesus' name, amen.